I have a little follow-up this morning on last week's message when I asked you a very explicit question. And Bob, you were quick to answer that one. Have you ever made a wrong decision in your life? And Bob said, not yet, or not this morning. And I went on to talk about wisdom, but not just any wisdom. If you remember, or if you weren't here last week, I talked about two types of wisdom. One is godly wisdom and one is worldly wisdom. Wisdom according to the norms of society or wisdom according to God and God's word. So this week, I want to follow up with another question. Have you ever done something your way? I mean, you were dead sure that it was going to work out just the way you thought and it didn't work out. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. I mean, you planned this thing out and you said, you know, this is a sure thing, and it didn't work out. Why? Well, in that particular instance, it may have been because we thought we were Frank Sinatra. Now, what do I mean by that? We did it our way. And now, you know, we sing that song in the mirror. The time has come, and we made that mistake of just jumping in there and not seeking the wisdom of God. There are times when we are just certain we know what's best. How many remember the show Father Knows Best? Do you remember back then when every family was perfect? The Cleavers, and I mean, they had no problems. And you used to look at your family and go, man, are we messed up? And then we realized we are the normal family and the Cleavers are not. But we make these decisions, we're dead certain, and no one's going to talk us out of it, and we have this great plan, and then all of a sudden this great plan doesn't work out. And it's happened to all of us. My wife and I were, a couple of weeks ago, we were in Key West, and if anybody's been to Key West, how many have been to Key West? Okay, you know Duval Street. Okay. Some say it's Sodom and Gomorrah of the world, but it's really not. People are having a good time. They behave themselves. I've never seen anything that was unlawful. In fact, you don't even see a police officer the entire time you're there. But one of the things they're known for are T-shirt shops everywhere. Everybody's selling T-shirts. And one of the things I do, I get a million sermon ideas. My wife's looking at pocketbooks. I'm looking at T-shirts. And I usually take photographs of them, so I remember, I said, I could use that in a message. And one of the T-shirts I saw was this one. I don't need Google, my wife knows everything. Yeah. Kathy says, I hope your wife's not watching the video right now. But there was another one, and I didn't get a shot of it, and I regret it, and it said, I don't need Google, my wife knows everything. Here's the other one. I need Google because my husband thinks he knows everything. And so it's so true. And guess what? I'm sure you already know this, friends. We don't know everything. We don't. We just don't know everything. We don't always know what's best. Sometimes we make those decisions. You know, my wife, I told you last week I'm impulsive. So I said, honey, I get it right at least half of the time. And she goes, half of the time's not good enough. I said, it would get me in the Hall of Fame, batting 500. But it doesn't work in real life. So my sermon this morning is, I did it my way and it didn't work. I did it my way and it didn't work. And that happens to me often. So I guess what the scriptures and God is asking us this morning, friends, is there a better way of doing things? And I submit to you that there is a better way of doing things. And I think they're lined up in Scripture for us. So many times we trust and we count on something that is going to happen and it doesn't work out the way we thought. We knew dead sure that this is it. This has got to be the big deal. And so I want to share a story with you. I want to put a face up there. Maybe none of you ever heard of Speedy Morris. He was the head basketball coach of LaSalle University. And if you follow basketball, he's like a Hall of Fame basketball coach. I want to tell you, I want to read his story. He was shaving one morning. It's a true story. When his wife called from downstairs to tell him that Sports Illustrated was on the phone. So what do you think Speedy was thinking? Speedy said, I'm finally going to get national recognition. Sports Illustrated. So he tried to hurry up shaving and he cut himself. Now he's bleeding. And guys, you know sometimes when you shave, you put toilet paper on there and you forget and go to work with toilet paper all over your face. So Speedy put some toilet paper on there, and as he's rushing out of the bathroom, down the stairs, the third step from the bottom, he trips over it, and he sprains his ankle. So now he's bleeding, he's limping, he's out of breath. You ever run sometimes, and you ever have somebody wake you up, and you don't want them to know you were sleeping late? And so before you pick up the phone, you go, hello? And that's what he did. He said, hello? And the voice on the other end said this, and I quote, sir, for just $1 an issue, you can get a one-year trial subscription to Sports Illustrated. Speedy hung up on him. Can you ever remember when you had a time in your life when you were counting on something, not Sports Illustrated, but you were counting on something to happen and it didn't, and it was a big disappointment? Instead of it being a Sports Illustrated moment, it turned out to be a telemarketer moment, and it fell short of what we were hoping that would happen. I did it my way, and it didn't work. Now, is our way always wrong? Be honest, is it? I told you, half of the time I'm right. Hall of Fame of being an idiot. But I will tell you, it's not always wrong what we do. A lot of times we choose what is right. Over the years, I'm certain each of us have done things that turned out just fine. And it was our way. We didn't go to the scripture. We didn't pray. We just kind of did our thing and it turned out fine. But what about the times that it didn't turn out fine? And so to address that question this morning, I'd like to turn to the text that Kathy read just moments ago, taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I want to run through that very quickly to maybe have us make better choices. Remember last week I said wisdom, making good choices, not always doing it our way, checking in with God and so forth, or other godly people. And so the first thing that happens, the writer starts off that very chapter, chapter 3, by saying, don't forget God's teaching. Have it in your heart. Don't just get a soundbite on Sunday morning. Not even on TV. And I always tell people, watch TBN, watch Daystar, watch some good preachers, David Jeremiah, T.D. Jakes. There's a lot of guys out there and gals that are preaching some great messages. But it's not enough. It doesn't take the place of independent study. And if you've ever gone to school and you've gone to the university, you know that not even what the professor or the teacher gives you is enough to pass that midterm. You got to get in the book. The professor, the teacher's given you enough, just kind of whetting your appetite, steering you in the right direction, but it requires some independent study. And the same is true for the scripture. So the writer says, don't forget about God's teaching, the word, to keep them on your hearts or in your heart. It's got to be here. Remember last week I said sometimes people have head knowledge but no heart knowledge? That it's in your head and you got all that information crammed in but it didn't reach here? So what does that mean? You've got a cognitive understanding, maybe, but did it reach the heart? Is it part of who you are and who I am? Is the word a living word? The Bible says, and the Apostle Paul said, be a living epistle. In other words, be a living Bible. So that before you even open your mouth, people could say, woo, this guy, this gal's different. And so he starts off this chapter by saying, don't forget God's teaching, his word, and keep it in your heart. Keep it close. And then he says, if we do that, it'll prolong our life. Friends, listen to me. You know what people are looking for in life more than anything else? You can't buy it at the mall. Somebody just said it. We are looking for peace in our lives. Man, if you got peace, you've got everything. If you can go to bed and put your head on the pillow and you got peace that day, you're a rich person. But there's so many people running around today who have no peace. And they're searching for it, and many times looking for it in all the wrong places. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying that is, if you get that word inside of you and you've got something in your toolkit that you could draw from, you're going to wind up having that peace which passes all understanding. And he says it will bring you prosperity. And now listen to me. Prosperity is not always a monetary factor. It's not always the accumulation of stuff and things and finances. A lot of times prosperity is just having a great family, having good neighbors, having a good church community, having food on your table. A lot of people don't. Having a roof over your head, having running water. And there are a lot of people in the world who don't have that. Folks, I know you're not going to believe this, but according to world statistics, us here today are some of the richest people in the world. We may not be Bezos or any of the big names that you hear out there, but multi-billionaires, but we are rich people. And he says that if you just keep that word of God in your heart and you keep it first, and you make that a priority, you're going to have a prolonged life. Because if you have peace, you can live longer. Doctors have already proven that stress could bring on diseases, heart attack, cancers, all kinds of strokes. When we're always like this and uptight. Do you know anybody who's like that all the time? Don't hit your husband, okay? Okay. All right. Then he goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, he says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Keep them before you in your heart. Love. Love of God, love of neighbor. Two of the greatest commandments, Jesus said. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you live according to those two principles, you won't strike back when someone attacks you. You won't respond in a negative tone when you feel you're being threatened. I'm not talking about a physical threat, a verbal thing. You respond back in love. And when you do that, you de-escalate the situation. You bring people closer. And forgiveness could take place. Even if somebody has a legitimate gripe against you, you could at least approach it in love and maybe reconcile that. And it turns out good. And that's what the writer is saying. Remember, Proverbs is a list of writings that is supposed to give us wisdom in how to live our lives. How to live peacefully. How to have a prolonged life, how to get along with others and so forth. And when we live such a life, if you look at the screen, it says we win favor and good name in the sight of God and others. So when we're living according to these biblical principles, we're not only living under God's favor, but we will be favorable in the midst of other people. People will want to be around us. That word favor, by the way, it's up there. It's kahani in Hebrew, and it means graciousness or kindness or pleasant. When we are pleasant, we automatically draw people who want to be pleasant with us. Don't you believe that? Have you ever known somebody that when they came in the room, you left the room? Have you ever been in a room when somebody who's just so beautiful and so pleasant, so gracious, that you just want to be around them, you want to be in their company? And we're supposed to be like that, the writer's telling us. And now, picking up from last week's message, which was on wisdom, moving from seeking the wisdom of God, and it's up there, to not only seeking God's wisdom, but then trusting in God and putting it into practice. See? The book of Proverbs is a very practical life application set of scripture. And therefore, they don't want you to just have head knowledge. They want you to put it here and put it into use. So we seek God's wisdom and guidance and direction, but then we have to put our trust in Him and put it into action. So thus, look at verses 5 and 6 of our text this morning. This is one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Folks, there's so much wisdom in that text. Before you go crazy when you cut off on Sunrise Highway and you want to chase this guy down and wave to him in a certain way, don't lean on your own understanding. It's going to get you in trouble. This scripture is so down there and real. Look at this. The word trust in the original Hebrew is botach. And it means to find refuge in, to be confident in somebody or something, to be secure, to have hope in something, and to find a safe place. And so what the writer of Proverbs is reminding us of this morning, have confidence, be secure in, have hope in, and find refuge in the Lord. The Lord is a place of refuge. It's a safe place. It's a place of hope when it seems like there's no hope. It's a place where you could find peace when you can't find peace anywhere else. You can't buy peace, a new house, a new car, a new job. None of those things are going to give you long-lasting peace. But God will give you peace that will last, a peace beyond all understanding. And I love that. You're going through a difficult time this morning, and I bet you some of you are. I have. Trust in the Lord. Going through a tough place? Trust in the Lord. You have to make a critical decision in your life? Trust in the Lord. You're facing an insurmountable trial in your life? Maybe with the kids, grandkids, somebody in the workplace, a marriage, finances? Trust in the Lord. You're feeling down? Sometimes, have you ever had a feeling, and don't acknowledge this one with a yes or a nod in your head or lifting your hand, have you ever had a day when you didn't want to get out of bed? You were so down. Didn't want to get out of bed. You felt like the weight of the world was on your shoulders. You felt like there was no way out, or the way out was not going to turn out good, and so you're down. I've been there. I know what that feels like. It's a terrible place to be. Trust in the Lord. Make the Lord your refuge. Find refuge in the Lord, a safe place, a place where you could have confidence that everything's going to be okay. I got some scriptures up there on the screen for you. I'm going to read them, but I want you to absorb them. Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are those who take refuge in the Lord. Blessed are those who take refuge in the Lord. Psalm 5:11. Let all who take refuge in the Lord be glad. Put a smile back on our face. Put a skip in our step again. We don't want to get out of bed, but I'm going to trust in you, Lord. And I'm going to get up, take a shower. I'm going to leave this house today. And I'm going to be glad in you, Lord, because I'm going to put my trust in you. Psalm 9:9. The Lord is a refuge for those who are oppressed. You're feeling down, feeling in the dumps, going through a difficult time. We've all been there. Some of you are there now. The Lord is our refuge in times like that. When we're feeling like, man, I'm so down. I'm not fun to be around. I don't want to see people today. I don't want to answer the phone. Don't ask me to do one more thing. Trust in the Lord. Now I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer this one either. Have you ever messed up in your life? Not today, Bob says. There's still time for Bob. Have you ever messed up in your life where the very thought of it embarrasses you? The things you may have done, said, failed to do. When you think about it, you're embarrassed. I also know what that feels like. Psalm 25:20 reminds us, let me not be put to shame because I take my refuge in you. Lord, don't let me feel shameful. That doesn't mean we continue in that behavior. It doesn't mean that we don't have to go to somebody and apologize and ask for forgiveness. It doesn't mean that what we did was right and all of a sudden I'm going to take my refuge in the Lord and you know what, I can just forget about everything. No, but I will tell you, the scripture says he will not let us be put to shame or embarrassed when we take our refuge in him. Wow. So for those times that we've messed up in our lives, we're reminded that if we repent of those transgressions. Anybody know what repentance is? 180 degrees. I'm going this way. Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you, and I'm going back to you. That's all we have to do. Remember, you don't have to shed any blood. Jesus shed all the blood that's necessary on the cross at Calvary. And so just ask God for forgiveness. Those transgressions will be covered by the sacred blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we will not be put to shame. So when the enemy says to God, do you know what Chuck Ferrara did? No. Slate is blank. Tries to bring all kinds of accusation. The great accuser, the accuser of the brethren and all that. Satan is in the Bible. It makes very clear his job and his job only is to make sure you fail. And I fail. Trust in the Lord. Make the Lord your refuge. He'll make you glad. He'll take your shame away. And Lord, I need to hear that this morning. So again, back to verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then look at this. It says, lean not on your own understanding. And that word in the Hebrew, sha'an, literally means to support yourself. I want you to visualize this. I'm going to depend on Chuck Ferrara. I'm going to lean on me. That was a song, wasn't it? Lean on me. There you go. Lean on me. Well, let's lean on the Lord. Let's not lean on ourselves. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. I love a church that gives you feedback. I mean, I've preached in some dead churches where they're looking at you like a raccoon sucking on a lemon. And then I got Bob. We could have fun in church and yet be serious all at the same time. Amen? Amen. Don't support yourself. Don't just lean on your own ability, your context, your wisdom, your knowledge. We may be the smartest person in the room, but usually our stuff is not enough. And he's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. That's what he says. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, you know what it says? Not by might, my might, not by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit. Don't rely on your might, your power, your contacts, your strength, your money, your influence, your wisdom, your own wisdom. Rely on the Spirit of God. Again, trust in the Lord with everything. Don't lean on your own understanding, he says. Friends, there are times, again, when our stuff is not enough. And it happens a lot. So then in verse 6, look at verse 6. He says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. I love this. Have you ever driven on a crooked road? I'm going to give you a crooked road that drives me crazy. The Southern State Parkway. You can get killed on that road. I mean that. When it was built, by the way, it was never meant for high-speed traffic. Did you know that? It was never meant. That's it. But I'm going to tell you, that red line does not do it justice. It is a white-knuckle trip from Belmore to Patchogue. The Southern State Parkway was not made for what people do on that highway. And let me tell you, 80 miles an hour is not fast enough in the left lane on the Southern State Parkway. Do you know when the Southern State Parkway was built? Anybody? 1927. 1927. Do you know what cars looked like back in 1927? They looked like that. There's no way that should be doing 80 miles an hour on the Southern State Parkway, and yet we do. And it's crooked. You ever come off the Belt Parkway and do that thing? Driving somebody back from JFK? It's like, Jesus. It's scary. It's scary. That's what we look like. Sometimes our lives feel like we're doing 100 miles an hour on a crooked road and we're not going to make it to our destination. I'm not talking about the Southern State Parkway anymore. Transition for me. Life. Oh, Lord. And many times we don't say Lord. It's like, oh, my. Oh, me. We do the prayer of the Trinity of me, myself, and I. and we don't seek God. In the simplest sense, acknowledge God means recognizing God. That's what it really means. My wife and I, by the way, it's a funny story, and it's something that won't embarrass her. She's not here this morning. She's not feeling well. But of all places, we lost one another in Epcot last week. Scary, man. That's what Disney World looks like. I'm just looking for an Asian lady. I started there. The problem was we were outside the country of Japan. And everybody looked like my wife. And so I'm trying to remember, what kind of hat was she wearing? Because, you know, we changed every... What blouse was she wearing? Oh, my goodness. And, you know, we were separated, and you could get lost there, and it's so easy. The crowds are so difficult. And then, listen, this was in slow motion, just like a romantic movie. Our eyes met. This is at Epcot, outside Japan. And we had a Cheshire cat grin on our face. It was all in slow motion as we moved toward one another for the embrace. We out of the entire crowd of all those people, we recognize one another. We love each other. We know each other. And it was such a good feeling that I found my wife, because I need her to find my car in the parking lot. I always forget if I'm in Daffy or Doofy or Goofy. And so we embraced. We sought each other out. We searched. We found one another because we recognized each other. And this is exactly what the writer of Proverbs is asking for us to do. Traveling 100 miles an hour on a crooked road? Seems like things are out of control. Feeling lost and not knowing where to turn or what to do next? Acknowledge God. Recognize Him. Like I recognize my wife. Recognize God in all your ways. Seek Him out. And he said, the writer of Proverbs says, when we seek out God and our life's doing this off the Belt Parkway, and we recognize Him, Lord, I recognize You. I trust in You. I acknowledge You. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I need help. I can't do this alone. All of a sudden, that road starts to get straighter and straighter. And we can navigate this thing we're going through, this trial, this hard time that we're facing in our lives. And so you see, I did it my way far too often, and it didn't work. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. In fact, the next time I go to Key West, I'm going to ask them to make that T-shirt. I did it my way, and it didn't work. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever experienced that? Well, I want to suggest to you in closing, based on this text this morning, God has a better plan. And it works. But you got to trust in Him with all your heart. You got to acknowledge Him in all your ways. And that could happen. And so, Lord God, I just say a quick prayer. I don't know what my friends are going through this morning. But all of us got something on our plate, some of it more serious than others, no doubt. But I pray we could absorb this text this morning and that You would help give us that peace we need, that You would straighten out that crooked road we're on, that You would slow the jets down a little bit so that we would have a long life of peace, of prosperity and hope because we took our refuge in You. And I pray all of this in that precious name, the only one that could really help us. And that name is Jesus the Christ, the Savior, our Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.